Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Not sure it's a comparison he'd want me to make on the radio, but Drake May went a little Trump there. My job is huge, it's big, and I wouldn't want it any other way. The quarterback of your New England Patriots, acknowledging the obvious, but as a young 23-year-old, I like that he acknowledged the obvious, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Oh, yeah?
He has to play well for the New England Patriots to win. It's football,
yeah.
Not even football 101. It's like football, like prerequisite before they let you in 101. The quarterback's really, really important in football.
Yeah. Big, beautiful ball game. You're not going to get away with a Roethlisberger-esque Super Bowl 40 performance. Remember that one? Mike Tomlin's...
Yeah.
No, that was actually... No, that was the chins. That was Cowher's Super Bowl.
I call him the spitter.
He played... Yeah, I was calling him the
chin. He's a guy, literally... Sorry for the aside, Dan Ball. Don't mean to derail it. If you sat in front of Bill Cowher in the front row of a press conference, you felt like you were at Blue Man Group and needed a tarp.
I was going to say, do I need...
Dude,
like
legit
a Gallagher
spit.
Splash guard?
Unreal.
Love
and
that.
I've been spit on. That's a Hall of Famer right there.
That performance, like, I don't think I've ever seen... No, two times. Two Super Bowls were won by two horrendous quarterbacking performances. Super Bowl 40, Roethlisberger. Super Bowl 50, Peyton Manning.
Mm.
God-awful.
So the lesson here is that most of the time, mm-hmm. unless you have historic defense or running game that's going to carry your ass, if you're the quarterback and mm-hmm. you in the postseason, mm-hmm. you need to play well. And I loved that Drake said that yesterday, and I love that he so flippantly says, my job's huge, it's big. That wasn't like a fearful, anxious, like the job is too huge or too big. It was just the acknowledgement. And he's done this all along, I feel like, since basically day one. Like, I'm the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. That's a big deal. Like, that's a full-time, no days off kind of job.
Well, I'm not just the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
I'm the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Right, where this isn't Cleveland, where the list is whatever, that jersey with 27 deep, and there'll be somebody after me, and the people before me, no one remembers. This is New England, mm. where there's literally a statue right over there mm-hmm. to the guy that was the quarterback not that long ago, and
right.
he set a standard. Oh, and if I look the other way away from the statue, there's all these banner things that quarterback brought. So he understands the job at hand. So that gets us to the question. We had a little bit more of a big picture discussion yesterday. The season as a whole, mm-hmm. if they lose, what happens?
And I think it resonated very well, and I think that kind of discussion is now taking place not just on radio stations or in mass sports media, but rather bars and gatherings where people are starting to congregate in anticipation of the game.
So let's take it to the next level, because the debate about Drake May this week was simply MVP related. Stafford or Drake May? We heard it first from Adam Schefter yesterday. He does believe it's going to come down to Drake May and Matthew Stafford for the MVP. Those will be the top two, so we have it from him.
As it should.
He's the info man. But let's take it to the Drake May discussion of what if he doesn't play well on Sunday against a very good pass defense? I don't know if I've shared this before. I'm pretty sure I have this week. You know which team and their defense has the lowest opposing passer rating against?
I'm going to go ahead and guess it would be the Los Angeles Superchargers.
Ding, 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 ding. So through the course of 17 games, all those quarterbacks they faced had a 75 passer rating combined.
Wait, that's not QBR, by the way, folks.
No,
this is the old-fashioned passer rating. That's less than half.
It is a little bit swayed by the fact that they have 19 interceptions, because interceptions are weighted very heavily in the formula for passer rating.
As they should be, but they still...
But they also have 19 interceptions.
They have also have 19 interceptions.
It's part of why they're good. And Drake May, obviously, has not turned the ball over anywhere near we may have feared coming into the season, coming off of last year. As Ted said yesterday, When was the last time he laid a stinker? You posed some halves that weren't ideal.
He has not had a full game stinker since week one, really.
That's how I feel. Week one was the last stinker for Drake May.
He's had two or three bad halves in the last couple of months. Bengals, Ravens. But otherwise, no, there's been no complete dud.
And now he's playing the most complete challenge he'll have played all year because the defense is really good. The coach is really good, and the quarterback will probably score some points. So you don't. I know he was asked yesterday about the matchup thing, Herbert versus May, and he's like, I don't really. I play the defense, you know, he went with that, which is true.
Yeah.
But he also knows there's a good chance Herbert's going to score some points. So that's in the back of your mind when you're playing. Like, I, you know, the old no one ever lost by punting. Well, if I punt a bunch of times and he scores, we're actually going to lose because I punted.
Yeah.
So
people forget, like, just because he's got a busted hand, just because later in the season he had some issues and the team sort of was injury riddled, it doesn't mean that Justin Herbert's just going to show up. Like, he played at Oregon, by the way. For everyone that's trying to ride this whole, like, ah, dome teams suck in the cold, especially in the postseason. Dude went to college at Oregon.
Yeah.
There are a few worse weather systems than Oregon.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oregon, some of the worst weather? Interesting. We did have texters that were saying rain in 30-plus degrees was like he's used to that.
Yeah.
Rain in 30 degrees, he's played it.
It rains all the time. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone listening, watching in the booth, et cetera, but like it's worse than London. Like the weather in Portland, Oregon, and just that, I know they're in Eugene. It's god-awful. But he's got a cannon for an arm, moves well. Yes, the left hand is broken, but to just assume that he's going to like pee down his pants, spit the bit, and be playoff Herbert would be a bit of a mistake.
So let's just say all the pressure, big game, the defense, he has to keep up with Herbert, leads to a less than MVP-like performance. Maybe he doesn't have one of his 100-plus passer rating. Oh, my God, he was 19 of 21 games. So I want to throw two things out there.
All right.
Let's just say he plays very average. Very, very average. Not good. Nothing like the good games he's had.
61% completion percentage.
Yeah, nope, not really any picks, but no touchdowns, just a very meh.
205
misses
yards.
A few throws, but not turnovers.
Okay.
And they lose.
Yeah.
What does that do to his season, his second season, his first as the starter?
Drake May?
Ooh. Drake May. How are we talking about the legacy that is Drake May coming off this season in totality when he, I won't say fell on his face, but kind of laid an egg in the
You know
playoffs.
What? He will, above the team, in my estimation, Drake May will wear the product of the schedule fool's gold tag more than the team will. Like, if he gets out there and has a very run-of-the-mill, unspectacular game, no great deep passes, no scrambles, like maybe zero touchdowns or like a touchdown and a pick.
Yeah,
and
it's a
forgettable affair.
Very meh.
Yeah, he'll end up wearing the whole, oh, so he feasted on bad defenses, throwing, you know, five touchdowns against the Jets, but he couldn't get it done, you know, when the lights were brightest against a really good defense.
No texter. We did have the 603. Hart, are you saying that if he has a bad game on Sunday, that might affect if he gets the MVP? Nope. MVP has already been voted for. It is done. It is not going to affect the voting for the MVP in any way. I'm talking about the perception, the legacy, the narrative, the next 365, what people are saying about him over the course of the offseason heading into his third NFL season and then hopefully potentially into his second postseason a year from now. Now, what about the other thing? We just said he hasn't had a bad game in totality since week one. What if he has a bad game? Like a bad game, you know, more picks than scores, one touchdown, maybe one touchdown rushing and two interceptions, completion percentage down in the 60% range.
So we're talking early the second on, half against the Bills.
Flailing it around early on because he's too amped up or whatever.
That's early, like from the Bengals game.
Then what happens?
Oh, boy. Then Monday's not going to be fun. Hell, Sunday night's not going to be fun into Monday morning for us. Then what happens? Then it goes right back to the same argument.
Fraud. Cam Newton. I told you, he's not even a game manager. He's a game loser, Cam Newton
He's a game mismanager. Oh, boy. That narrative is going to be so annoying. But do you, when you
also,
listen to him.
Sorry, real quick. Just, also, have you noticed that the MVP race has suddenly gotten personal with the Whitworths and the Fitzpatricks and those, and the Orlovskys? Those people will be snarky, too, I bet, come Monday.
Yep.
If Stafford takes care of business in Carolina and Drake May falls on his face against the Chargers, there will be snark involved in the commentary from those
insufferability.
People. Dan Ball!
There will be a, oh, well, you guys in your cute stats tried to tell me that the kid was deserving, but you guys don't really watch. It's going to be bordering on the Ryan Clark, you didn't play the game, so you don't know.
Wasn't ready.
Level of
oh,
snark.
God.
that you're getting from people if he doesn't win the MVP. You guys just, you don't watch the games with a critical eye. You don't really know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so will it be warranted? If that happens, if he falls on his face at home, if he has his worst game of the season at home in the playoffs, is it going to be warranted, this perceived reaction
Do you think that's a possibility?
It's obviously a possibility.
Anything's possible.
Young guy making his first, you don't know how they're going to react. You see it all the time, all levels. Ted has said, this week, Drake May is feeling things he's never felt before, right? Because it's his first playoff game. There's a different type of pressure, build up, all of that. Although I actually do think Mike Vrabel might be the perfect guy to break that. Mm-hmm. I bet you there's some ball busting going on. So between his brothers via text and Mike Vrabel, I bet you they're kind of breaking the ice a little bit of the anxiety or the pressure.
Or just preventing him from getting too geeked up.
He will not be wound too tight.
Get out of your head. Do not spend the week in your head. How many people from Ted to Vrabel at the mic and beyond have told us all week, even Schlereth on Tuesday when he joined us at 2:30. After the first play or two, once you finally like kick off the ball, maybe have a snap, get popped, it's just a game. It's just a game. It's a game like any other game, and you have to try to think that way. You can't think, oh, God, if you play not – come on. I mean, I don't mean to steer, you know, right down one cliche lane, but if you play not to lose, yeah.
When was the last time we accused him of playing not to lose?
Drake May?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever have.
Oh, I did. The Raiders game. I thought he was thinking about what not to do rather than trying to make plays.
It was a long time ago.
He was avoiding mistakes, in my opinion, rather than trying to make plays, and he didn't play well. We thought he was thinking too much, right? Just go out there and play. Use your athletic ability. You're a gunslinger. Run around. What if that comes back? What if he decides, if I make a mistake, what if he... Ted brought up yesterday the Parcellian, which I didn't love this approach from Parcells, but whatever. Hall of Fame coach, who am I to criticize, telling the team, don't be the guy that sends us home.
Right.
What if Drake has that in his mind? I'm the guy that could send us home. If I make this throw, remember the throw to Pop Douglas down the middle that we were like, there's no way he's completing. Oh, he completed that.
That one against the – I still
does
say
he make that throw
second
tomorrow?
Best throw of his of the year.
Does he make that throw on Sunday? Or does he go, ooh, this is the playoffs. That's too much risk. I'm just not going
to
do that.
I can't afford to try to find Diggs on the sideline. I can't afford to look for Pop over there. I don't think he plays with any fear.
Okay. If that's true, then I think he'll be fine.
I think McDaniels tells him, we're going to get creative. We're going to have fun, but we are not going to play afraid. Because if you're playing afraid, you're already playing from behind, even if the score is 0-0.
100%. But I don't know how he approaches it, because we have nothing to go on.
Aggressively.
But we don't know, because we've never seen it, right? We've seen regular season Drake May. The same way, because I think the root of his success, we've talked a little bit about this, I think the root of his success is not the talent. Well, it is. It's the accuracy. His accuracy is a big part of it. But it's that guy we're talking about deep down inside, the killer, the competitor. And I think that guy is not going to be overwhelmed by playoffs, Sunday night, anything. Oh, Justin Herbert's over there. He's so good. He's the next Dan Marino.
Wait, how many millions of people are watching?
Ooh, no. Derwin James. Hey, Derwin James, watch this. You're going to think you got it. I threw it over your head for a touchdown. Like, I think that's his mentality. And I think that approach is good for him. And again, I think that's why what we just heard coming into this segment, that's a huge, big game. But just saying it's sort of, it's a huge, big game. Okay. It's also just football game. It's a game on the same field that we've been playing on all year with the same guys, right? And the same level of competition. Theoretically, we're better than them. We're at home. They're the 7 seed. We're the 2 seed. We won more games. But I do think it's interesting to ponder locally what will happen, and nationally. And nationally, obviously, you'll be much harsher than locally, right?
Oh, of course. They're dying for a chance to pounce, A.
Build him up, tear him down.
On the Wonderkin, because, of course, he's just been, you know, put up on the pedestal and fluffed up all season long as, like, the next great thing. And two, you've made this point a bazillion times on the radio, on the podcast, and beyond. What's more fun, or what gets you more engagement than dragging the Patriots into the storyline?
Oh, absolutely.
So if you can drag the Patriots Monday, if you can walk them through the castle in a walk of shame because the Patriots didn't show up, because Mike Vrabel got outcoached by Jim Harbaugh because they weren't ready and the Chargers played faster and hit harder, ooh, boy.
The 508 chiming in, so if we're not to say that Herbert isn't going to have a good game, even though we've seen two awful playoff games, his point is Herbert could have a really bad game too. Sure. Yeah, and you know whose legacy that's going to increase the pressure on? Justin Herbert. He becomes a stat accumulator, a regular season guy, but we're also not doing LA radio. We're talking about the quarterback of this team who is embarking on his first. I think there's absolutely legacy pressure on Justin Herbert Sunday to start to become a postseason winner, to start to enter that conversation of, let's see, I've seen Burrow and Mahomes and Lamar and Allen win in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Not the ultimate win for most of them not named.
Drake May has no postseason narrative yet.
No negative, no positive.
Correct.
Herbert has the negative. So he needs to start to debunk the negative, the bad performances and the losses. Drake May, clean slate. 508er, you're right. Drake May has a clean slate. We've never seen him fail. We've also never seen him succeed. And all we have to go by, Fitzy, if there's any evidence of anything, are the few performances where we go, is he too amped up? Is he sailing balls on the side? Was that out over Mac Hollins 5 yards over his head? Was that because he's too jazzed up right now? That's all we have to go by. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's been a great quarterback and an MVP candidate.
Herbert, 0-2 in the postseason. Let's see, the first one, they blew a 27-point lead on the road against the Jags. He's got the two worst kind of playoff losses you can have. Blew a ginormous lead and then just got blown straight off the field and looked like they never belonged there.
Yeah, that's not great.
The Texans.
We don't want Drake May to have either of those. No. I prefer neither of those are in play. But Dan Ball?
Which is kind of ironic because there's a lot of Justin Herbert's game that you want Drake May to mirror and a lot of Josh Allen's game that you want him to mirror.
Right, so up until
you lose and fall on your face in the playoffs and have to do anything of any significance when it comes to winning. It's an ironic matchup at quarterback.
It is, and these are the two guys. These are the two guys who he's most been compared to prior to entering the league and even in his early tenure in the league. It's why I've said, you know, at some point this season, stop comparing him to Josh Allen. He's better than Josh Allen right now. He's making less dumb plays. He's making less plays that lose games in the postseason. If you wanted me to power rank those three guys, let's say they're in the same, what'd you learn in like science, like those familiae, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's say they're all in
kingdom, phylum, yes, family, yes.
They're all in that. I'm very proud of you for getting that. Dan Ball looked at me like I had seven heads behind the glass.
I knew kind of where you were going, but did not have the word ready.
Well done, Fit. Let's just say they're in that. Mm-hmm. Which of those three is most likely to make a game-losing mistake this weekend? Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, or Drake May?
Ooh, that's a fun question.
You got an answer?
Well, I wish you asked it in one more minute. Then we could have teased it across the commercial. Now I'm on the spot. Who's more like Josh Allen? I hate to say it. Because he has even less offense around him. He's got James Cook, who, by the way, led the NFL in rushing yards with over 1,600. So he's got a great ground game to depend on. But he may not have good weather. And Jacksonville has a really good defense, especially against the run. So what's he going to probably try and do? Play that sort of like erratic, jittery, I got to make a play. Damn it, we got to win this game. It's on me. And so I think of the three, he'd probably be the one most likely to force a game-altering mistake.
What a good-looking question.
I also think
thank you.
There's a chance some points are scored in that game. I think that could be a little bit of a shootout, similar to what I said about
that would be way more fun than a slog.
Trevor Lawrence is scoring, and I'm Josh Allen. I know I have to score, too. I have to keep up with Trevor Lawrence to win this playoff game. I agree with you, Fitzy. I think it's Josh Allen most likely. I think second most likely is Justin Herbert. I would put, of this phylum, kingdom, family, whatever, I would put Drake May lowest on the list of likely to make a game-losing play. That being said, we don't really know. We also don't know how the pass rush is going to affect things. I don't know if you've heard, there's some pretty good pass rushers on the Chargers front there.
Yeah, Khalil Mack is going to have to be accounted for all game.
What about the other guy, Dan Ball? Could you tell me the other guy that they have to account for who has 13 sacks from UCLA and is got a last name that I don't know how to pronounce?
First name was Tui. He was a second-round pick, and he's very good at football.
13 sacks from Tui. We're sticking with Tui because his last name is tough to pronounce. But, yeah, whichever guy is under pressure is going to have issues. If they blitz Drake May, I know he's good against the blitz, but that doesn't mean he can't be forced into a play. Yes, Dan Ball?
Tui Pelotu.
Oh, Tui.
I missed a syllable. Tui Pelotu. Yeah, there you go. That's
Tui
our
Pelotu.
Guy. That's our guy. That's our
13
guy.
13 sacks good going old, up against the Patriots. Tui. And I know the offensive line we decided
punch
was
Tui
good enough for most of the year, but pressure, right, is going to be a factor in some of these games. But I still, even though I have questions about Drake May and his first career start, I do have questions. But 617-779-7937, Fitzy, you said it. Let's ask the listeners. Who is most likely to make a game-losing play this weekend of the phylum that is Josh Allen, Drake May, and Justin Herbert. Very similar quarterbacks, similar skills and abilities, and they're going to have a huge game to carry their teams to victory. But which one is going to feel the pressure, literal or figurative? Which one is going to make a mistake that could cost his team and prevent them from advancing? 617-779-7937. And also, if Drake May happens to lose, how do you feel about Drake May's season? If he doesn't play well, how do you feel about his season and his future? All that, your phone calls next here on WEEIF.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Afternoons.
And special teams. Plus, they have the coach of Mike Vrabel, who's been there, done that. And so I know they haven't seen the playoffs in a few years, but Mike Vrabel has. It's in his DNA. And so this is my top six, 6-1 in AFC.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do it, that's all right.
Andy?
That's all right.
In terms of pop culture,
that's all right,
American
Mama.
Art and music. What is significant about today?
Is it Elvis Presley's birthday? I had 2 days to go with there.
God's
birthday
good.
Or death day, and I so I was picking.
No,
one or the
other. he did the deep fried Percocet toilet surprise later.
Okay, so yeah, happy birthday,
the king.
One of the kings.
The king, Andy.
Oh,
no,
my
no,
God.
No, 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 no. We can quibble over the Springsteens and others and whatnot. There will be no debate as to who is the king of American music.
George Strait. Which, ironically, he was also not here for a long time.
Pull
here for a good
our
time.
License now, please.
But yeah, happy. At first, I thought it was those kids with the Drake May anthem. Little guitar playing, little singing,
way, those,
little honky-tonking
what
or whatever.
A nice little moment for those guys. That thing
That's everywhere now.
Hyper-viral. Good
it's
on
It's
going to
burn hot, though, boys. Don't make any, like, career decisions based off of it and think, like, you've made it and this is your path. Like, just enjoy it.
A 93-second song about a quarterback in the NFL going viral does not a career make.
Although you never know. In this day and age, TikToks produce careers.
Shoot your shot.
Absolutely.
Shoot that shot.
So we are talking about Drake May. We just talked about what happens, as you would say, Fitzy, if he loses, if he doesn't play well on Sunday. How does that affect the narrative, his legacy, his short window legacy here and his season? We're also going to get into, okay, Drake May's the most important guy. Who's the next most important guy? But I want to mix in some phone calls. 617-779-7937. I think Justin in D.C. has an answer about the three quarterbacks and who's most likely to screw it up. What's up, Justin?
Yeah, gentlemen, I have an answer on that and a question for you both. Being a Boston fan, we care about winning, so I just don't get the glazing of Josh Allen. Andy, I think you're one of his biggest glazers. He's a loser. He's shown it time and time again. He's going to lose this weekend. He's going to lose this weekend against Jacksonville, and then maybe finally you'll be able to see the light that he chokes like he did in that playoff game against Deshaun Watson and the Texans when he's fumbling the ball, throwing it to the other team. He does it all the time. So Josh Allen's the answer to that. My second question, though, is you guys are talking about Drake May and how he may be a little too hyped to start the game, and I assume Harbaugh understands that and will be preparing for a run up the middle or a screen pass or some series of opening play calls to get Drake May into the game. And I was just curious if we think that Drake May has built up enough equity where McDaniels can go deep, a play-action go route or something like that, to both try and take advantage of Harbaugh and also leverage the fact that his QB is awesome.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
There's a lot there in that call, but I don't mind unpacking it.
Josh Allen's a loser. Dan Ball?
Josh Allen, not a loser. Sean McDermott, loser.
That, yeah, yes. Yeah. Dan, can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
Which of the two plays that allowed the Kansas City Chiefs to go down the field in rapid succession in 13 seconds years ago in the divisional round did Josh Allen call?
It's a great point. I don't know. Unless he had some magical headset on the sidelines while he watched his dreams get erased with his 101.7 passer rating in the playoffs, then I don't know.
Now, Josh Allen, correct me if I'm wrong, he was the one who threw the two long seam route touchdowns to Gabe Davis within the final 3 minutes to actually give them the lead.
Now, I know there is also a Josh Allen on Jacksonville, but I'm pretty sure this was Buffalo's Josh Allen.
Joshua Allen Hines now.
Absolutely.
Allen Hines.
Right. Josh Allen's not a loser.
He is not a loser. And
I hate that take.
This is the old school spoiled Patriots fan that, you know, counts Super Bowls by the half dozen. And you do. You have them. Brady got them. Belichick got them. But then we need to go back to what you would think of, I don't know, mid-90s Drew Bledsoe. Like, you're now in a different stratosphere. I get that. You're moving on up. You're rich. You're the Clampets. You hit oil. That whole thing. But can you at least just, like, pretend you remember what it was like before the dynasty was built and how much value there was in winning the division, making the playoffs, or just having a fun player who you know is really good?
Or how about also, you know, to bring up something that cannot be counted for statistically, how about having the weight, not just of a fan base, because every quarterback has the weight of a fan base, whatever the size of that fan base and however fervent or passionate they might be. How about having the weight of a fan base and a region that is dying, that is desperate, that cannot wait for you to be their savior after their quadruple successive failure in the Super Bowl 30 years ago?
And that's tied together because there's people that will call Jim Kelly a loser for going to four straight Super Bowls, even though that's not a loser.
Did Jim Kelly miss the kick at the end of the Super Bowl?
Nope, he did not. He did not. And even if he did, like, you're in the Super Bowl. If you go to four straight Super Bowls, you're not a loser. Like, I don't know how you can be anointed a loser, and it's the same team and everything, and they haven't won. And I get all that, and you're on your high horse in New England. But we'll see. And maybe we're wrong. Maybe Justin's right. Maybe Josh, because we did put Josh Allen first, right? I do want to, like, some part of us agrees with Justin, right?
You did.
And Fitzy did. You didn't weigh in. So I'll give you a chance to weigh in. Which of the three quarterbacks, Dan Ball, that we've put in the same genius here, Josh Allen, Drake May, Justin Herbert.
You sure that was the right scientific term?
I don't think so, so we'll move on.
Class.
Which of the three is most likely to make a game-losing play this weekend?
It's the only one that hasn't experienced playoff football at home in front of fans as the number two seed with the pressure on you. Drake May is the answer to that question.
Drake May is the answer to that question.
Wow.
Yep.
Is this like a heel turn for you or something here?
No, he's got a rationale. Please extrapolate.
Yeah, I'm just being realistic. Like, this is a sophomore quarterback that has played zero playoff snaps, and I have no idea how he's going to handle the pressure, especially against a good defense, a good pass rush, and a solid secondary with a smart head coach on the other side. There are a lot of reasons why I can believe that, not to say it's going to follow him his entire career, but for his first game ever in the playoffs, he could make some uncharacteristic mistakes this week, and because there's no sample size for me to say otherwise, I have to go with him until proven otherwise.
I think you just had a little tell in there in your description, though. Uncharacteristic mistakes. There are people that believe those mistakes for Josh Allen are characteristic of how he plays, who he is, and he's had them this year. You know, I forgot who it was against. It was maybe that Atlanta game or the game after. He's flipping the ball backhanded and it gets picked off, or, you know, he's throwing a pit. Like, he puts the ball in
harm's way.
The
Atlanta game was particularly bad, and he was under pressure. Like, he was under crazy duress against the Texans. I think they had 9 sacks that night.
Well, the Texans are pretty good. They do that to a lot of people.
Yeah.
They make a lot of quarterbacks look bad. They made Justin Herbert look bad. They make, you know, they probably would make Drake May look, if not bad, much worse than he's looked.
Lesser than.
Yes, most of the season. So that's on the table. The quarterback play, Drake May said it. He's going to have a big game. That's his job. He accepts that. He enjoys that. He wouldn't want it any other way. That being said, I believe I've been told, including by people like Ted Johnson, who we'll talk to in about a half hour, the ultimate team sport thing, right? There's 11 guys on the field. That's why it's such a great game. Mm-hmm. All of those things. So it's not just Drake May. It's not just the quarterbacks. So I want to have a discussion about who's next in line for New England. Other than Drake May, not named Drake May, who's the most important person that will impact the winning and losing for the Patriots on Sunday night? And I'm going to read you the poll, and you can either pick from the poll.
You pulled this out. All right,
absolutely. And we have some interesting results early on. But I said, who, not named Drake May, will have the biggest impact on the result of the Patriots' Sunday night playoff matchup against the Chargers? And I said, reply if you didn't like my options and you have another option.
Question before we go into it. Are they on the field or on the sideline?
Both.
Oh,
the first option you had as a voter is Vrabel / McDaniels. Mm-hmm. I went with those two together. Ramondre Stevenson, Stephon Diggs, or Milton Williams. Those were the options I gave. And right now, we have a two-horse race. Very close voting between
McDaniels and Vrabel and Ramondre Stevenson.
You got the first one. You didn't get the second.
Is it, they go Milton Williams?
Milton Williams returning from injury to not only, I think, solidify the run defense against a team that mm-hmm. probably wants to establish the run. I think mm-hmm. also people are saying, well, that offensive line's not great. Can he be an impact pass rusher, work with Barmore to be an impact pass rusher, or even take pressure off of Landry, let him do his job? I think some of it is expectation that he's going to impact the pass rush.
Correct.
But those, now we did have a few others. Hunter Henry, that was the one. The real answer that somebody actually sent in was Justin Herbert. Like, the other quarterback can carry
solid answer
to victory. But which would you pick if you were picking?
My power ranking would go McDaniels and Vrabel, Ramondre Stevenson, Milton Williams, Stephon Diggs, other.
Yeah, and I think the cheating aspect of that opinion.
Go like Robert Spillane.
Spillane's an interesting
over
one.
Steph Diggs, legitimately, because they're going to get some yards, and Milton Williams can't be everywhere all at once. So if Spillane is back and that this magical mystery foot ankle injury that he had, if it's healed up enough that he can be back to himself, that makes a big difference.
So one reason I wouldn't say Steph Diggs is because I think we've accepted that this passing game is, I'm just going to throw to the guy who's open. So if Diggs not doing it tonight, mm-hmm. he's going to go to Booty or Hollins. You know, DeMario Douglas, Hunter Henry. He'll just figure it out. And by he, I mean Drake May.
Or more than likely, the backs.
Or the backs, whoever. He'll figure out the passing game. So, okay, that's why I would eliminate Diggs. The reason I would probably vote Vrabel and McDaniels is because McDaniels is so directly tied into Drake May. And we just said Drake May is the most important guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now the guy that he trusts more than anyone, right? The pointer, the finger point, every touchdown, I'm pointing over to my boy Josh McDaniels, thanking him for the play call, the information, whatever he's doing to put himself. That's huge. But I also like Josh McDaniels and think Josh McDaniels will be prepared. So I don't know that he's really a wild card factor. He'll be good. I think the wild card is where the voters are going. I think it's Milton Williams. I think if Milton Williams in that defensive front is good,
mm-hmm.
they win this game. I think
stout
they
against the run, generate adequate pressure,
enough.
And don't give Kamani Vidal, maybe Omarion Hampton, but most especially Justin Herbert, the time to find your soft spots.
And also, I just like the I don't know that it's the story of it, but you signed a Super Bowl champion for $100 million,
mm-hmm.
and you bring him in, right, theoretically, for games like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Hal, come show us and help us win playoff games like you're used to winning in Philadelphia. Come help Barmore and Spillane and Landry and these guys win. Come help us be a contender, right? And that's why, theoretically, you brought in Milton Williams. So I think it's Milton Williams. I think if he leads that front, we're going to be talking about a victory around 11:45 on Sunday night.
I thought it's been money well spent from minute one. And did anyone on this team showcase their value greater, not named Drake May, than Milton Williams this year when once he went out, the precipitous drop-off of the rush defense and the pass rush began?
Now, the flip side of that is this Omarion Hampton injury with him missing practice with an ankle injury yesterday.
Yeah, if he's out again today, that's bad for them. Good for
that's us. A check mark for the Patriots. The 508 chimes in saying, I say the O-line because they'll affect both May and the running backs.
How's Will Campbell ready for a face full of Khalil Mack?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Or Tua? Who the other guy was. Yeah. He'll be ready for a face full of him as well.
Tui Tiatola.
And also, they have others.
Like Tatupu, right?
They're a pretty loaded front. They're going to blitz. Derwin James, that's the other thing. Oh, he thinks he's ready for Khalil Mack, and then Khalil Mack doesn't come because, oh, Derwin James is actually blitzing, and I'm supposed to block Derwin James, who's a better athlete than virtually everybody on the football field.
And please also don't discount the fact that their defensive coordinator is a top candidate for multiple head coaching opportunities and availabilities. So what does he want? Think he wants to go out getting faced by the Patriots, or does he want to showcase
this
game?
Is Ted's whole coordinators have egos theory to show off. Kind of, that's a good point. You're going into interviews. No better way to go into interviews than maybe shut down the league MVP, the phenom, the young gun quarterback. Nobody could stop him, but Minter can. That's a great point. They could be looking to do some things for their own personal gain. So that's on the table, 617-779-7937. We know Drake May is the most important person in regards to the Patriots winning on Sunday night. Who's next in line? The coaches, the defense, the complimentary offensive players, all of that. And speaking of one of those complimentary offensive players, Kayshon Booty wrote a long story for the Player Tribune about his time at LSU, his addiction to gambling, his beginning to his career in New England that was almost cut short by his own choice, and also some strong words of support for the culture and the team built around Drake May and Mike Vrabel. The writing debut of Kayshon Booty, a little bit of an excerpt from that up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Gonna throw towards the end zone, and it is caught. Ooh. Touchdown! Kayshon Booty. May takes a shot down the field. It's Booty. Touchdown!
May taking a deep shot down the field. Booty is down there. Touchdown!
He's throwing for the end zone, and back there the catch is made. Kayshon Booty has six.
Booty, rocking everywhere.
Kayshon Booty has become maybe the best deep ball target, certainly on the Patriots, but made a lot of really big plays for Drake May, who's the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. And we all know the sort of superficial story of Kayshon Booty, right? Big time prospect.
The parlay kid?
We'll get to that. Goes to LSU. The guy's pouring his heart out on the Players Tribune, and Fitzy's taking pot shots from afar.
That was a good one, though.
Wait, how this segment's going to go, Kayshon.
The Prince of Parlays. The guy used to hit like 8 leggers on the reg. He was awesome.
I don't think he hit him on the reg. You know why?
Why?
Because I don't think you lose all $90,000 that you put into the app on if you hit him on the reg, so to speak.
Yeah, but he had to get that $90,000 from someplace, and I don't think it was a benefactor donor.
It was NIL. He lost $90,000 in NIL
money.
And
then later on was up $58,000. Come on now.
You know every gambler that's up, they don't show you when they're down. Except he showed you on the Players Tribune, and he said that feeling he felt when he looked at the app and it said 0.00 after he had put $90,000 in there. But he also talks about his career trajectory. Remember that big game, 300 yards as a freshman? Oh, he's going to be a first-round pick. Then he gets hurt.
The latest in the long line of great receivers from LSU.
Oh, yeah. He was going to be in that Neighbors, OBJ, Chase, Jefferson, that whole, except he wasn't. And he ends up as a late-round pick for the Patriots to the point where he got up and walked out during his training camp as a rookie, and I believe Elliot Wolf, it didn't really say specifically, but a front office person came and talked to him and talked him out of quitting. He was going to quit football before it even began.
He was going to pull he was going to kind of Reggie Wayne it, except Reggie Wayne was at the end of his career because, wow, these training camps are really hard.
Correct. And he gets into the whole, he was basically addicted to gambling. When the injury crept up, that was his outlet. He was depressed, clearly alone, just staring. He kind of paints a picture of laying in bed, staring at his app, making bets, doing things of that nature. It's a really long, interesting story on the Player Tribune with Kayshon Booty. And I think everybody should read it. I mean, this is a growing topic lately. Dave Ramsey, the financial guy, is talking about how this whole generation of young men is being sort of lured into the gambling apps and potential addiction and that lifestyle.
And how the NFL viewership is up 10%. I wonder what that has to do with. Oh, it's Kevin Hart again.
Yes. But the thing I actually found most interesting for the here and for the now in this long story was the thoughts late in the story Kayshon puts on paper about the Patriots and their quarterback. And he starts, he says, knowing that we got number 10. We got a QB in Drake who's going to make a play regardless, with italics for emphasis. Regardless, Drake's going to make a play. He's the leader of our team, and we believe in him fully and everything that he can do. If you a receiver, you love him. Every dog want the bone, as they say. We all want 10 targets a game, but there are 5 eligible receivers and only 1 ball. One thing about Drake, he doesn't force feed the ball to one dude. He's not looking for wide receiver 1. He's getting the ball to anybody and everybody. And that's what we've talked about from afar all year. But this is one of the dogs, like one of the guys that wants the bone, talking about why this has worked so well with Stephon Diggs as the top receiver and then everybody else kind of getting in where they fit in. And just that whole vibe of we got 10 and we know he'll make a play. Like, you're a made man when you're in that world, right?
Yeah, but this is the fundamental belief across the entire team. There has to be, you talk all the time about like, oh, there's the dog in him. And, you know, Steph Diggs talks about, oh, I wish he was even more vocal and more and meaner.
Meaner,
yeah. He wants him to be a bit more savage.
And Drake has threatened it on our show, actually. Remember when he threatened he's going to go after the refs at some point?
Yep.
He's going to be meaner to them.
He hopes to be confident enough to be grizzly. But there's just a quiet confidence about him. And these guys that are in there with him just know it and they feel it. I also just looked up Booty's stats on the year. It seems like he was catching a deep ball for 6 every other game. Only had 33 catches on the year, but it felt a very impactful 33.
Absolutely. And he was the go-to guy down the field, or is the go-to guy down the field still.
I haven't heard his name mentioned much leading into the game Sunday, except for this article.
But I would not surprise if he has a big play. I don't think he's going to have 7 catches, as he says, on 10 targets for like 180 yards. But he could have 3 catches, and one of them could be like a 52-yard touchdown that changes the game. But he's not just all in on his quarterback. And remember, this is the guy that admitted he was ready to leave. He wanted to quit. He wanted to leave football and be done with it all. Now he's talking about knowing that we got a coaching staff we want to play for, which is interesting because you're like, wait, you've been here through multiple coaching staffs.
This is his 3rd head coach in 3 years.
Who was his first head coach?
Bill Belichick.
Who was his 2nd head coach?
Gerard Mayo.
Okay, so now he has a coach we want to play for. The vibes in the building feel, again, italics, different this year. Mm. Oh, interesting. Different to what? The first 2 years when you had Bill Belichick and Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, probably.
The vibes in the building. They feel amazing, actually. The real minds behind the culture we're building, a culture where we lost week 3 versus the Steelers and went on to win 10 straight. You feel me? I think a lot of people turn on the TV, see the games, talk about the connections, the throws, the time in the pocket, things like that. But one big thing I would say a lot of people overlook is the effort we put in, day out, in order for that to happen on Sunday. It's not magic. It is practice and effort. And when you practice the way we do, when you're between the white lines, it's not just straight football. It's fun. Wow. Oh, he having fun? I didn't think fun was allowed in New England. No fun, sir, under Bill Belichick. Winning is fun. That's the form of fun you get.
It was prohibited up until last year, and then last year they tried to have too much fun.
Yeah, riding bicycles and playing cards and stuff. Football is supposed to be fun, not just fun. Dan Ball?
Unless you're Joe Mazzulla, then you tell a kid that fun's just an excuse.
That is
3 out of the 4 teams allowed to have fun. Don't
forget. Is that not still the most interesting, if not confounding, answer any coach has ever given to a question, maybe in the history of Boston sports?
Yeah, like, I'm a big fan of the job he's doing this year, but, like, take a deep breath, man.
Yeah, but it's who he is.
The kid's 12. Relax.
He's the hardo. He's the reigning 12.
The kid's 12.
My son is 12. My older son's 12. If my son asked him that question and he got that answer, he would probably still be staring in the general direction of Missoula going, but I just asked him if he could have fun. Yeah.
And then when he does a jiu-jitsu somersault in front of him and goes, wah, right in front of him, he would run for his life.
What a hardo.
But that's the biggest hardo in town, and you got to love him for it. 617-779-7937. Kayshawn Booty loves his QB, loves his coach, and the vibes. He actually wants to play for this staff and have fun on the football field. Who'd have thunk? You can have fun and win 14 football games and play home playoff games. What a formula for Mike Vrabel. 617.
I don't know what that means, but whatever.
779-7937. We see your phone calls lined up. We'll take those on the other side. Ted will join us. 3-point stances and more next here on WEEI Afternoon.